Da 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 da.
Thank you for the introduction, Carmen. This is episode 5. I was about to say life in microdose.
Oh, wow.
This is episode 5 of Back to Square One. We are your lovely hosts, Derek.
And Carmen.
And welcome back. I guess just to start things off real quick, this podcast is sponsored by Schedule 35. If you're into microdosing, if you're into self-optimization, being more present, being more focused, I would definitely check out schedule35.co.
All right. I feel like lots have happened since our last episodes.
It's been a solid week.
Yeah. Yeah, 1 week. Yeah.
Well, a lot has happened, most likely because it's Christmas time.
Yes.
We're meeting up with family. We're meeting up with friends. You know, things have been going on.
Yeah, but also because more recently, Ontario announced the new restrictions
right.
due to the pandemic or the rising numbers with Omicron. Mm-hmm. And yeah, our Great Gatsby party had to sadly be canceled.
It was a baby Gatsby party.
It was a baby. We instead had a baby Gatsby party, which was still a nice, chill experience. But I mean, yeah, a lot of our family Christmas things are canceled. You know, it's just going to be like a really, or our New Year's plans are probably going to be flop. Like, it's just going to be like last year.
What did you do last year for New Year's?
I think we played board games. It was really low key.
Until midnight?
I think we were playing board games and then we looked at the clock and was like, oh, it's almost 12. And we like,
just did it.
Just did it and was like back to board games. It was very low key.
Right.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah, I don't know what we're doing this year.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know what we're doing. This is pretty pretty depressing times we're in for the whole world to kind of revert back to square one, if you will.
Wow.
So, a little plug.
Yeah, honestly, I think a lot of people are just kind of like tired of it, right?
Yeah, we're at the point right now where I feel like as a politician, AO is already tough for them.
Yeah.
But B, now it's extra tough because everyone, even the people who were supportive of lockdown and supportive of preventative measures, are kind of sick of this lifestyle.
Yeah.
But like, what do you expect them to do? Not look out for public safety and public health?
Yeah. I mean, there's no, like, whatever you decide, there's always going to be backlash. There's always going to be people who are going to get upset. It just, it's awkward this time too, because like, it feels like it's a lot closer to home.
What do you mean?
Like, we personally know maybe like I already personally know 5 or 6 people who have either gotten it or know someone very close who has gotten it. So it just feels like...
Yeah, it's getting closer to the inner circles, right?
Yeah. Which is like, we heard it's a good thing, but I mean...
It was a good thing.
It's just like, yeah, more infectious, less...
Less deadly.
Severe, yeah. You know, usually indicating the end of like, you know, a pandemic, I guess. But, yeah, man, if you guys are listening, get vaccinated. That's my opinion. Personal opinion.
Yeah, it's crazy right now. It's just...
Yeah.
It is what it is.
So, give us a little bit of an update.
Yeah, so if you guys have been loyal listeners, you know that in episode 4, it was kind of a... an episode where I got to share about my kind of history, my family background, how I'm not really close with my family, how that affected me, you know, my distant relationship with my brother and my mom, and you know, my non-existent one with my dad. So kind of after last week's episode, I decided to message my brother and just meet up, you know, have dinner. I haven't probably had I haven't had a one-on-one sit down with him in maybe 4 or 5 years. 5 years maybe. Yeah. You know, he agreed to it. We just kept it really light. We just went for...
So did you just kind of like text him out of nowhere?
Yeah, I just said, hey, you want to grab dinner sometime next week?
Yeah. Did he reply right away? Or was it like...
Yeah, he definitely was down.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he definitely was down. He was like, sure, you know, I was like, is it cool if you come downtown? He's like, yeah, I'll come downtown. You know, I'll come a bit earlier just to beat traffic and whatnot. And, you know, just let me know when you're at. He was definitely really receptive to it.
Yeah.
Which is good, you know, because I didn't know
what to expect. Like,
yeah, I didn't know what to expect. He could have been like, oh, I'm pretty busy.
Yeah, for sure.
And I definitely wouldn't have taken it personal just because it definitely was really out of the blue for me to message him.
For sure. Or he could have like just kind of postponed you until like the new year or whatever, right? So
yeah
exactly. It happened so quickly because we were just talking about it last week and then you messaged me and was like, I'm gonna meet up with my brother. I'm like, damn, I'm such a good therapist. I'm kidding. But yeah, how did it go? I've been dying to ask you, but I feel like
before we talk about that though, I definitely want to, I feel like within our group of friends, and I guess for people who know me, a common trait that I get told that I am a lot of times is stubborn. I like to show for the record, in many areas of my life, even from episode one where we talked about mending the relationship, who was it that reached out? In many areas of my life, I have a opinion on things. But I always am open to discussing them, always open to, let me take a look at the other side and perhaps I'm wrong, you know, and maybe there is something I can learn from here or grow from here.
Yeah.
You know, so I just want to put that on the record.
No, I applaud you for that. But honestly, this is definitely something that's more recent of you. Because I think like the Derek 6 years ago or whatever would have been open to discussion, but would have been very like,
okay, I mean,
you know, you're dumb, I'm not talking to you, like, but I'll, you know what I mean, like, it's definitely a more recent thing. I mean, I think it comes with maturity, maybe like you said, like the microdosing and, you know, the empathy and all that, but
shrooms, man.
Yeah, no, I, you know, you know what, I will take that adjective out of describing you. You're no longer stubborn.
I mean, don't leave it out yet. Don't leave it out until I say what I have to say.
Okay.
Yeah, so we agreed to just, you know, grab dinner. We went to just something chill, you know, grab a bowl of pho. You know, we went to Pho Tin Tan downtown.
Okay.
So I'm 6'3". Right, my brother is slightly taller than me, but I always forget how tall he is. You know, I get to the restaurant, and holy shit, this guy's fucking tall.
He's taller than you?
Yeah, he's taller than me.
How much?
He's like 6'. So I'm like legally on paper 6'2.5", but I just say 6'3".
Okay.
He's at least like 2 inches taller than me.
Wow.
You know, like when we're standing up next to pay, like at the front, it's like, okay, you're on your way now, right?
That's so crazy how you guys are. Because are your parents tall?
No, my mom is probably 5'3", 5'4".
Yeah.
My dad is probably 5'8".
Like average.
Yeah.
Wow.
Very average.
So you two are like strolling up to Pho, like these two tall guys.
Well, so he was inside already.
Okay.
I came a bit late. And it was honestly like sitting down with someone I didn't know.
Wow.
His voice was so deep. His voice was so loud.
Like so unfamiliar?
So very unfamiliar.
Wow.
The first thing I said to him, I'm like, do you always talk this loud?
Wow.
His voice definitely got so much louder than when we were kids.
So he's like more confident?
No, or? Just like, just talk at a loud volume. I'm like, bro, like, yo, just, he's like, you want me to whisper? I'm like, yo, just turn it down a bit. Everyone can fucking hear you talking in the restaurant right now. That's literally the first thing I said to him.
Was he like?
He's like, yo, he's like, I can't help it, man. Like, people always say that at work too, but, you know, like.
So he just has a really deep voice. Very loud, deep voice.
So deep, and it's so loud. Holy shit.
I bet he sounds like you.
Oh, my God. But then he, like, looks different too.
Yeah, you guys look very different. Very, very different.
He looks different.
But he looks different, like, from your memory? Like, that different? Or, like...
Yeah, definitely.
Like, you would not have been able to recognize him if you saw him?
Obviously, he's fucking 6'5". The only taller Asian guy than me is my brother.
Yeah.
You know? But
Like, did he look weathered?
Yeah, definitely.
Really?
It looked like time had passed. And when I look at him, it made me feel a bit sad.
Yeah. Like you missed that big chunk of his life almost. Like that kind of sad?
It just made me realize like we're the same, but we're older now. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. You know, we're just talking. We're just catching up. Asking about what he does for work.
Yeah. So does he, what does he do now?
He does IT sales.
Okay.
So like, he was saying basically they have access to, I guess, of like HP laptops, right? Mm-hmm. They want to get rid of a lot of inventory. They outsource it to an agency. Mm-hmm. His agency does a lot of like cold calling, hits up like schools, small businesses, mm-hmm. whatever, and like sells like a bunch of laptops in bulk.
Does he get to like work from home and stuff?
I think he goes in, he said.
Is he living at home?
He's still living at home, yeah.
Oh, okay, wow. Okay, and then, so, continue. Like, was he like, oh, I was kind of surprised at you,
right? Oh, yeah, he did say that. That was the first thing. He was like, so, what made you reach out? You know, I was just like, you know, like, just wanted to see how you're doing and, you know, catch up and, you know. He's like, oh, I thought you were getting married.
He doesn't know you at all, my God.
But it's so funny, like
that's so funny.
Even going back to episode one, why is it that like when I ask people certain things like, yo, let's meet up, let's do a podcast, it's always such extreme answers.
They either think you're getting married or you're dying.
Yeah, it's like is this what it takes to like have a one-on-one with you? Yeah,
like, can I just like catch up with you? I just want to like see you, bro, you know?
Yeah, sometimes it's not that serious.
That would have been so funny if he said, I thought you were dying.
I don't think my brother knows about
the cancer.
Yeah, I guess to preface with everyone and as to why Carmen assumed that in episode one, when I was 25, I remember I was driving down. Let me go backwards a little bit. When I was like 23, this cyst mm-hmm. popped up on my shoulder. Mm-hmm. So I had a cyst on my wrist as well in high school, like a really big one. I don't know. You didn't know me when I had it.
No, I don't think so.
But it was a really big cyst. It used to like go under my watch and like pop up like a ping pong ball. Mm-hmm. And then I got rid of that in high school. And then another one popped up on my shoulder after university. And I was like, oh, this is the same thing. Mm-hmm. Right? I had it for like a year. And then eventually, okay, let me just get rid of this thing. And then one time I was driving downtown to hang out with you and Arif and maybe someone else when you were living on...
maybe Jackie?
Yeah, maybe Jackie when you're still living in that condo on Bay Toronto. Street.
Yeah.
And my family doctor calls me and he said, hey, remember that cyst that we removed last month? So it's kind of routine that we biopsy everything, even though we don't think anything suspicious of it. But we detected cancer cells in it. You know, now you got to go see a specialist, you know, and da 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 da. And basically, I had this really rare form of cancer. It was called dermatofibrosarcoma, DFSP for short. And it was like a one in a million thing. And I had to get more surgery and get like some fascia.
Basically, like a chunk of your shoulder is missing now.
Yeah. So just take out more of it. And yeah. And eventually, got it all. So we're all good now. But that's why.
Yeah.
You thought I was dying.
Yeah.
When I asked you to start the podcast.
Well, I mean, because like I remember the exact moment when I found out. I was literally like ordering ice cream or something. Like something really happy. I don't remember what it was. And then like you called me. I was with my friends. You called me and you're like, you literally just told me over the phone.
Really?
Yeah, you told me over the phone and I remember like I started crying because like you didn't really like explain. All you said was like you had cancer or something and I was like, what the hell?
I probably didn't know what it was then too. Cause
yeah. It was before your surgery. Before...
Yeah, because even during my consultations with like the doctors and, you know, I went to this specialist and then this specialist and they moved me around.
Yeah.
Like they had never ever dealt with it. It was such a rare form.
Yeah.
And even when I was in the room, there would be like three other doctors. Because it was the first time they all saw it.
Like over your shoulder, kind of like.
Yeah, they're all like, oh, this is an interesting case. I never did it before. Yeah. And it felt like such a like lab animal. But yeah, thankfully that's over with. But
Right. Yeah, that's why every time I think you do something out of the blue, I'm always like, he has cancer again. Or like, you know, he's dying.
God is calling you.
But anyway, so he said he thought you were getting married.
Yeah, he thought I was getting married. I'm like, nah, man, I'm still single.
Is he?
He's currently single. But I think he's talking to someone, he said.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But one of the main things, like, I don't want to like bore everyone with like the small details what he's up to right now. Mm-hmm. He's still living at home.
Yeah.
But I definitely see what my absence caused in his life.
Wow.
As in, he's definitely not well-rounded, if you will. I feel like people, and this is not an insult to him, but if you're missing certain people in your life, good parental figures, good siblings, good friends, you do, you know, you do feel that the shape of that person is a bit different, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely like could see that, you know. And then the immediate follow-up thought was, that was always there, and that's why I chose to be so distant with him. And then I remembered is because when we were younger, he didn't really have to be responsible for a lot. He was kind of like, you know what Chinese people say, that he's kind of like Dun Dun Day.
Okay.
You know? So yeah. They were kind of, my parents always went easy on him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Also like the second child thing.
And I remember like there was a moment in when we were younger where I tried to help him, tried to like steer him straight, but he wouldn't like listen, and I just couldn't get through.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just saw the same thing again. And I'm like, oh, okay, now I realize, and now I remember why I was so distant with you. Like, there's no room in, we're just two incompatible things.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So like, although I did have dinner with him and we did catch up and it was good and all that, but I don't think it'll be happening again for a long time.
Wow. So like, I guess you couldn't, I mean, it was over pho. So, I mean, you couldn't really get into all the like, maybe reminiscing about like how mom and dad was when you guys were growing up.
No, we definitely did talk about it too.
What was his like? I'm just very interested to hear what his version of it is.
It's the same thing. Like, I was like, oh, you know, like, how's, you know, I just made the joke. I'm like, yo, how do you still live at home? Like, have you gone crazy yet?
Yeah.
And he's like, haha, well, you know, like, you know how it is. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and then he was just telling me how my dad switched bedrooms in the house and now he's in a different bedroom, but it's still a fucking shit show at home. No one really talks to anybody. My parents are, I guess, renovating the house now, and my dad is doing most of it, but my mom is helping my dad. And he's like, oh, I feel sorry for mom. Da, 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 da.
Well, yeah, because they're like, what, like in their 60s now? Probably. Maybe close to 70 even, your dad?
My dad right now is 72. He had me when he was 40.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And your brother, like, what, 3 years later?
Yeah.
Wow. So there's such a gap.
Such a gap.
Like a generational gap.
But it definitely is like, like, the stories are going to be the same. Like, me and him have gone through some shit in our family. But it's just the way we react to it. He's still able to be in an environment that doesn't, that's not a healthy environment.
Yeah, because it's not like he has a job. Like, financially, it's not like he can't leave. But do you feel like maybe because you left, like, he feels, like, I don't know if he's closer with your mom. Maybe he feels like that more of a bond to her or anything like that. And that's why he's staying. You don't feel that?
No, definitely not.
Damn.
Definitely not.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy because, I mean, as much as you were absent in his life, like, yeah, like, your parents and him, you also didn't have, like, that brother, you know, to kind of...
Yeah.
So crazy.
Yeah, it's definitely sad. We were definitely close when we were younger, I think. You know, with your sibling, I'm sure with your sister too, you guys always play together, toys,
yeah,
and sit in the back seat and, you know,
yeah,
whatever, you know what I mean? But since then, it's just like, you're just such different people, you know? And I could definitely see, I understood why I had to leave that whole family altogether.
Mm.
Like, everyone had this thing that was just so unfixable in terms of what I could do. So it's like, if I have no power or like in the situation to help fix things and make it better, then what am I doing here?
Right, right, right.
You know, not only do I not have any power to bring positive here, but it's affecting me negatively.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to peace out.
Yeah. You know? Like, you felt like after talking to him, you didn't sense that, like, he felt like he needed to escape from, you know, the situation, or you felt like he was, like, content with the way things were, and it was like there's no kind of, like, being there for him, or there's no getting through to him.
It's not a getting through thing. I think we both realize. I think we're just different in that sense. Some people, even though we both realize that the home environment is not the best, mm-hmm. it's not that I won't say he's content with it, but I don't feel the urgency. Mm. You know? So if the urgency isn't there from someone, it's like, how can you push them along? You know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm still trying to, like, figure my own life out and figure out so much of everything, but it's like, how can I even remotely come close to helping you if you are not share that same sense of urgency of, hey, the surrounding is not good, I gotta get out.
Right. I mean, I think you made the right first move already to just kind of reach out, right? I think if he needed anything from you in the future, like, he knows he can, like, text you or call you. And did he say anything about, like, oh yeah, you know, we should, like, have dinner with mom or anything?
No, what he asked me was, oh, did mom and dad tell you to message me?
Oh, like, almost like, get your brother out.
Yeah. I'm like, no, I don't want to talk to them, bro. You know, and he's like, yeah, you're right.
All right.
But it's also very sad because, like, I see how unaware he is. And I feel like one of the hardest things to teach anybody is self-awareness and good taste. But taste is, like, that's a different conversation. But self-awareness.
Right.
You know? And he just doesn't have that. And it's like, oh, man.
Wow.
Yeah. It's just really tough.
Did you, like, feel bad for him?
I do. Mm. I definitely should have stepped up more as a father for him, almost. Mm-hmm. Right? Like an actual big brother, and showed him this and showed him that. But at the time, it's like no one was even showing me these things. Like,
yeah.
You know, my only instinct was to get out to survive, you know, find my own path, you know, and he kind of ended up staying in that setting, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And at the time, you never felt like it was, like, you needed to bring him with you or whatever.
Now that I look back, I realized I couldn't, and I'm sure that's the reason why I didn't at the time. Mm-hmm. I just can't help you. Mm. You know, like, you have to be able to at least have. There's only so much you can do for someone, I feel like.
Yeah.
And I don't want to, like, make it sound like I'm talking down on him, but it just feels like, from my capabilities, I think I didn't even have the capabilities to do so. So it's not that it's on him. It's probably more so on me as well, as a bigger brother, that I couldn't have been more and been what he needed.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. I'd be interested to know, too, whether, like, you know how in the last episode when you're talking about how it's really hindered you to, like, open yourself up in relationships, you know, kind of get deeper with mm-hmm. With other people. I wonder if that, you know, has affected him too. Just because it seems like he's not in any, like, obviously I don't know what his dating life is like, but.
I mean, we definitely talked about that, and he's on the complete opposite end of me.
Really?
Yeah, he was telling me how he's like, oh, what do you think of polyamory? I'm like, I mean, I'm like, whatever works for you, but I don't think I think it's more complicated, and I think it's not the best long-term solution. Uh-huh. Or best long-term.
He asked you that? That's so random.
Yeah, he was just like, oh yeah, you know, like, I go to a lot of swinger spots in Toronto. I had a, you know, like, he called it an ethical non-monogamous relationship.
What? Explain.
So basically, I guess for either it was one girl or two girls that he was in, basically in an open relationship with.
Yeah.
And they would go to swinger bars and they would go together, but he would hook up with, they would find another couple there and he would hook up with a girl, and that girl would hook up with other guys.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm like, you are in, like, that is something I would never do. So we are on the complete opposite ends of the spectrum of how we turned out from a house with very little love and warmth.
Right.
You know, it's crazy. Yeah, it's so different. My mind was blown. I was like, yo, that's insane, bro. Like, good for you, but hey, I hope you're happy.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm wondering whether doing that, like, you know, has helped him form deeper relationships. But, I mean, yeah, it's crazy. Wow, you guys are so different.
I know. Holy shit.
Are you guys even brothers?
Holy shit. It's crazy. Like, when you tell, I would have never expected in a million years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, how do you feel about, like, reaching out and stuff? Like, you know, you felt like it was kind of what you expected, or?
Yeah, it brings me back to now I might actually sound stubborn here, but it's like, I knew that this was going to happen. I knew this was the situation. I knew I didn't bother for a reason. I knew there is no relationship for a reason, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Damn.
Yeah.
It's sad. I don't know why I was hoping for some, like, you know, some breakthrough.
We're just very, even as friends, incompatible.
Yeah. Did you tell him about what you do now and stuff like that? Like,
yeah, I talked about it briefly, you know, Schedule 35.
Yeah, was he interested in that stuff? Or
he says he wants to start a business.
With you know?
No, not with
me. Like, damn, that's fast.
He says he wants to start a business. But he has, like, no idea where to start. He's like, you know, I want to do some networking. I've been reading a lot of books on networking. I'm like, bro, you can't read books on networking. You know what I mean?
Maybe that's what you should, like, help him with. Because that stuff, like, you know.
I don't want to. If he wasn't my brother, I wouldn't have helped this person. I wouldn't even have considered it. Because you can see people who get it and people who don't get it, and I feel like he doesn't get it. You know what I mean? Like, they're the people who always want to aspire to be something and be capable of certain things, but I don't think he has it. So it's tough.
Wonder what his friends are like.
I wonder too.
Yeah, because I would say, like, luckily for you, despite the fact you didn't have your family, like, you had really good friends, you know, you surrounded yourself with good people that, like, you know, I would say, like, were like-minded people, but also inspired you. I wonder, like, who he hangs around, like, you know?
Yeah, I wonder too. I don't know. I definitely do think that I got really lucky in life.
Yeah.
I've always felt at every stage of my life, I've been so blessed and fortunate to have the people around me that I do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't, like, really fortunate,
mm-hmm.
you know, but... Yeah, we're just, I don't know, just two different people.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm so sad. Okay, well, yeah, I guess, I mean, you did that, and you planning on calling your mom out one day?
Yeah, maybe when I have some, like, big news or good news. Life is just life right now. There's nothing to really to, you know, and from what it sounds like, I can already see, again, it's going to be the same
spiel. Like, what are you doing with life? Yeah, are you just saving money?
Yeah. It's just very like nothing inspiring. There's nothing there that inspires me to, like, rebuild and reform and regrow.
Mm-hmm.
The relationship, you know,
mm-hmm.
It just feels very like, okay, what are we doing here?
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Have you seen your family at Christmas at all?
Yeah. Like, I mean, we plan to get together during Christmas.
Is your sister going to fly back?
Yeah. My sister's actually coming back tomorrow.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So for those of you listening, my sister, we're 6 years apart. She's younger than me, and she moved out to Vancouver, and she now works for the RCMP in Vancouver. So she, like, moved out there by herself. She got herself a place. She loves it there. Like, I'm actually scared that she might not ever come back.
Wait, what does she love about Vancouver?
She just loves, like, the weather's better. You know, she opens her window and she sees mountains. I think it's also just like one of those things where when you're young, you move to like a different place, you feel more independent, you know, things like that. But she's also met like a good group of friends out there.
That's good.
Yeah. I don't know anybody who really moves away to Vancouver and like hates it.
That's true.
I mean, Vancouver is just kind of a place.
You more so hear people leaving Vancouver to come to Toronto and loving Toronto.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
But no, she's happy out there. My sister and I, honestly, because of our age gap, so you and your brother are what, 3 years apart?
3 years apart.
Yeah, my sister and I are 6 years apart. So I don't think growing up we were actually as close as maybe you and your brother. Like, I actually remember being very much the mother figure to my sister. Because, you know, growing up, my dad was never around and my mom worked at Mandarin. So she always worked late. She worked from like 10 to 10 or
something.
She did like
cook and make sure she went to bed and all that kind of stuff.
Well, I mean, we lived with my grandma.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's why I'm so close with my grandma. My grandma basically raised us. So.
How's your grandma doing?
She's doing well. Yeah,
she's doing well. How
old is she now? She was born in 34, so she's like.
Holy.
87?
Is she there? Like, still all, like, very present, very...
She's definitely, like, over the last couple of years been... She's been diagnosed with, like, moderate dementia now. Like, she definitely has more... She has... Her long-term memory is really good. Like, she'll remember our childhood and stuff like that. But if you ask her, like, oh, what'd you have for dinner? She'll be like, I'm gay, Dilla. Which is, like, I don't remember.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's, like, she's kind of...
Is she saying it, like, in a sarcastic
way? Yeah. Or sometimes, like, I'll just kind of trick her. I'll be like, oh, like... Do you remember my name, like my English name? I'll be like, okay, oh, I've been gone. And then she'll be like, Leiwale. Like, she's so she's just a joker, right? She'll be like, what do you think? But I think like she actually doesn't remember. But yeah, no, like
Cantonese people are so sassy.
They are. I love it. It's like so funny. but yeah, going back, like my sister and I, like we were not close growing up. Like I remember resenting her.
Your sister?
Yeah, because like my mom.
Why?
Okay, not resenting her. Like, my mom spoiled my sister.
Yeah, the younger one is always spoiled.
And I, all the responsibility, like, I was a straight A student, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I cannot, like, stress this enough. Like, straight A's.
Yeah, you
A's.
Wrote it in our episode description. Who do you relate to more, Derek or Carmen, the straight A student who's now a dentist? His parents are very proud of her.
Seriously, no, straight A's, okay? Every single report card, my sister was the complete opposite of me. Like C's, like failed her test.
Why did you help her study?
I did. So my parents would always be like, you need to tutor your sister more. You need to help your sister more. And I'm just like,
who's helping me?
Yeah. And the thing is, like, I never got praised at all. It was like, it's expected of you to get A's, right? Yeah. Meanwhile, they'll make a deal with my sister and they'll be like, if you get 5 A's, we'll buy you an N64.
Oh, man.
And I'm like, what the fuck? I never got shit for like, you know? So I always like resented her. And every time I'm like, please just get good grades. Like, I really want this.
Do it for us.
Yeah. But it was so different. Like, it wasn't until I think more recently, like we got a lot closer. So it wasn't until like she...
Like after she left Vancouver?
Maybe like a little bit before. Like I would say when she...
Before the pandemic?
Like, I mean, because we're 6 years apart, like she was only legal, like drinking and partying and stuff like that.
A couple of years ago,
right?
Well, like, actually, no.
Like 6 years or whatever ago. Yeah. Whatever. So she wasn't like...
Have you ever drank with her? Like party with her? Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Party?
Yeah. Like karaoke.
How was that? Was it weird?
Yeah, it was definitely weird. Like she was puking all over the place. Oh, I'm just like, God. Oh my God, this girl. And like, if it was my friend, it would have been fine. But if it's your sister, you're just like, oh my God. Like.
And was it with her group of friends or your group of friends?
It was like with our family, actually. With my cousins.
Man, that's so embarrassing.
Yeah. With my cousins. And like, yeah, no, it was good. Yeah, we're definitely a lot closer now, but you know, like this weekend we had a little gathering at our house, and one of our friends, Richie, so they have I guess just to let our listeners know, Richie has a 2-year-old now.
Oh my God. We just celebrated her second birthday.
Yeah, 2-year-old Riley. We love Riley. And
shout out to Susan as well.
Yes, and Susan, love her. Susan is Riley's mom and Richie's wife. but yeah, you know, we were just kind of going, like talking about, you know, how important siblings is to us, and you know, whether having that second child is, you know, I guess in their future plan.
Mm-hmm.
And putting, like, obviously all their plans aside, like, I know they have valid reasons to not have a second child or to have a second child. But when they asked me kind of, you know, when we were talking about having a sibling, like, it just, I cannot imagine my life without my sister. Like,
yeah.
And I don't know if it's because we're close, like, and your relationship with your brother isn't close. So it's like, can you imagine?
But I definitely couldn't have imagined it without him either. Because we were, I'm sure you guys, like we played together so much.
Yeah.
He was like my go-to play buddy.
Yeah.
You know, you just play like mini hockey, you play, you know, whatever, you run around the yard, you know?
Yeah. And there's always like, I don't know exactly, like even in the back seat, there's someone to like,
yeah, talk to, or, you know, pass a Game Boy to.
Yeah.
Or just, you know, just do dumb shit.
But do you think that only child, like I realize that a lot of the only child that we know now,
mm-hmm.
they have a much better relationship with their parents than like we do. Do you think it's because it's like, oh, they were an only child, so it's always like them three, like they were a unit. Let's say they wanted to play board games. You don't play with a sibling. You play with your mom.
Yeah, they're your sibling and parent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I feel like they're a lot closer. Like even now, when I see some of our friends who are only children. Okay.
Who were the only children?
Who are the only child? Who is the only child?
Who was the only child, or yeah. who were the only
children?
Yeah.
That's so weird. Okay. It's like they're so much closer, and I don't know if it's also because they feel this responsibility to like take care of their parents because what no one else will, right? Like,
I mean, I think that's largely they just had more time with them, and they were more to each other than just, you know, father,
mom and dad.
Yeah, mom and dad,
whatever,
yeah,
because right?
they were like more on the same level, because they had to play it together, watch movies together,
yeah,
you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, I definitely see like there is a special bond that mm-hmm. like I would say
that you don't see in Asian children.
Yeah,
you see it more so in like white families.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. But yeah, surprisingly, I mean, my husband, like Eden, is an only child, but he's actually like super close with his mom.
Yeah,
like he calls his mom like every day.
Oh wow.
Yeah, his mom calls him to like gossip about like you got auntie Jome, you got auntie Jome, or like every day. And him and his mom are so close because his dad was also not around.
Mm-hmm. So like they're like best friends.
Yeah, they're like best friends. So it's kind of nice, like, you know, seeing that only child and the parent in that relationship. But
yeah
I couldn't imagine my life without my sister. So when Eden and I have kids, we'll have to, I guess, decide whether.
Yeah, just you know, one step at a time.
Yeah.
One step at a time, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What should we talk about?
I don't know. Should we wrap it up for this one?
Yeah, I feel like it's, I mean, there's not much more to say about this. I mean, yeah, like, until the next time you talk to your brother.
Until the next time. But I do wish, in my heart of hearts, I do wish that my entire family story was different. You know, and I would like to say, you know, for everyone out there who's close with their parents, close with their siblings, you know, just don't take it for granted and really, really live it up for the people who don't have what you guys have. You know?
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
Do you really like look at other people's families and just like especially around Christmas time, like does it make you sad that like,
bro, when I see like Christmas lights and Christmas trees, and it's triggering.
Yeah,
it's like symbolism. It's symbolic of what we never had, which was, you know, warmth and togetherness and family and joy and, you know, just very that energy.
Yeah.
You know, that positive energy of, you know, being with your uncles and your cousins, your aunts, everyone's laughing,
yeah,
kids
yeah.
running around. You know, we just never had that.
Wow.
Yeah, but it's very easy to separate that because growing up we never had that. It's just, you just knew, oh, that's what other people have and that's just what we don't have and it's okay.
You know? So it wasn't like you were like envious of it or something like that.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, when you're growing up, white kids celebrate like Santa Claus and but Asian kids like rarely had that Santa Claus.
We knew Santa Claus didn't exist. Yeah.
So it's kind of like that. It's kind of like, oh yeah, certain families have this and do this and they get more gifts or they have more, you know, birthday celebrations or whatever, but we just don't really have that.
Yeah.
So that's the same kind of association that I have with it.
Right. Yeah. That's true. But it's actually funny that you say that because I think because growing up, we didn't have those things. Like now, I think when we have kids, like I really want to like make that effort to give that to them.
And as you should.
So I wonder like with you, I mean, because you didn't have that like kind of family warmth, whether that's something that like you're really looking for.
I think for anybody who knows me, I very much so try to make the environment I'm in a very warm and welcoming place. You know, literally very welcoming. Drop by anytime, let's hang out. It's just, you know, I like my place to be, you know, a good gathering spot. Mm-hmm. And I think it's in response to, you know, my childhood.
Mm. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, happy holidays, everyone. Hope.
Oh man, what a terrible end to this episode.
Happy holidays. Walk away. No, this is not to guilt trip anybody. You know, honestly, it's
enjoy what you have.
No, but it is. I think it is good to be reminded.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes when you're together. Your family watches a sad Christmas movie. My life is just that sad Christmas movie.
So, oh my God.
That's what it is, you know. It's
oh my God. Well, for anyone spending Christmas alone, you know, hit up 35 Mariner.
Yeah, seriously, I'll be home alone. I'll be just probably watching, you know, on my computer or watching a movie on the couch. You know what I mean? It is that's my yearly tradition.
All right, wrap it up.
Okay, guys. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in.
Shout outs to Derek's brother, if you're watching.
Shout outs to Ulrich. I'm glad you met me for dinner. And yeah, take it easy, guys.
Bye.